Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon. I'm at the State Fair of Texas today, and I'm talking to Bruce Anderson of Sunset Winery in Burleson, Texas, outside of scenic Fort Worth. Bruce has taken some time off from pouring wine, and we've left his wife, Birgit. Thank you. To pour the wine while Bruce answers a few questions. Thank you very much for doing this, Bruce.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Bruce, one of the things that I know you've seen at Sunset is the increase in quality, improvement in quality in Texas wine over the last decade in particular. From your perspective in making wine, what do you think the main reasons for that are?
Well, I think the two things that are going on there, Jeff. One is that as we get more wineries, we're getting more people that understand how to make wine, and Texans are getting much more sophisticated in their tastes for wine. And I think they are looking for better wines and telling winemakers that have good wines, keep it up, and telling other winemakers, no, this is a little too tart, or this is a little too sweet, or whatever, and we're all kind of growing together.
What's the biggest difference? You've been doing this now.
This is our fourth year.
Okay. What's the biggest difference from now and when you started in terms of quality for your wines?
Well, we did something at the beginning that I think was you know, not to toot my own horn, but I think it was pretty smart. We went to Neil Newsom in Plains, Texas, and we sourced our grapes from Neil, who's one of the best growers, I think, in the state of Texas. And my mother used to say, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and you can't make good wine from bad grapes. So I think that was a very smart thing that we did. We started with some of the best fruit in the state. We also listened to some people who knew what they were doing. We've been trying to improve as we go along. We try to improve every year, but frankly, we've been pretty fortunate with starting the way we did. Our first wines were 2003 vintage. They were not made at our winery, but we were involved very heavily in the making and decision making. And both those wines took some medals in competitions.
So you obviously were not a winemaker in your first life.
No.
So you're a winemaker now. What's, to your mind, the biggest surprise in being a winemaker?
Wow, the biggest surprise in being a winemaker. Well, I went through all the courses they offered at Grayson Community College, and I thought I knew something about making wine. And I'm one paper short of getting some sort of diploma from them. I may get around to writing that. If I do, it's going to be what they didn't teach you in grape school. There were a lot of surprises, and some of them were just little mundane things like learning how to maneuver a pallet jack, which in my previous life I never knew how to do. And I think one of the things that I've learned, and it's been very valuable to me, is I've learned to identify spoilage factors, like Brettanomyces. I'm sure I had wine. I know I had wine with Brettanomyces in the many years that I was a wine consumer before I started being a winemaker. Didn't know what it was, didn't like it, the wine perhaps terribly well, but you know, it was just part of the wine. And so I've learned a lot of things about like that as I'm going along, and it's been very helpful.
And just to mention, what you're talking about is also known as Brett, and that's the aroma that you get in a wine that some people like, including myself actually sometimes, that smells like a barnyard.
Yeah, a little bit of sweaty horse blanket or something of that sort. And we had the privilege of going at it for the industry tasting of Bordeaux wines back in the early spring, late winter, I don't know exactly when it was, but there were some 90 Bordeaux wineries that came to Dallas and presented their wines.
That was the social event of the season here in Dallas.
It was quite an event. There were winemakers and wine writers and wine buyers from all over the state that came in for that. And I was really surprised. There were three or four of those wines that I thought had unacceptable levels of Brett in them. I'm wondering why these Frenchmen would bring them all the way across the big puddle to...
Because that's the way they're supposed to taste. They're French wine.
That's true.
Do you see, and I know that you've actually done a nice job with grape varieties that, as I'm an advocate of planting to the soil, you've actually done a nice job with Merlot, with more traditional Bordeaux varieties that we traditionally had less success with in Texas. Is there a secret that you've had other than using quality grapes? Have you discovered something about doing that?
Well, you know, we do the make those wines the same way that the Bordelais do. We put them in, we ferment them in stainless steel. Now, sometimes in Bordeaux, they will ferment them in concrete tanks. Though most of the wineries that we know of in Bordeaux use stainless steel for fermentation. And then we age them in small oak barrels, and we basically treat them pretty much the same way that our friends in Bordeaux do.
And so you try to stay out of the way of Neil's grapes?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, the grape is a kind of an interesting phenomenon. If you take a handful of grapes and crush them and put them in a coffee cup, you will either get wine or vinegar. Just all by themselves with native yeasts, and if the vinegar bacteria get at it first, you get vinegar, and if you're lucky, the yeasts that will turn it into wine are there, and you'll get wine. And if you've got good grapes and you stay out of the way, you can have a good chance of getting some fairly decent wine.
That's actually the best winemakers I've ever talked to have always said, stay out of the way of the grapes, let the grapes do what the grapes are supposed to do.
Well, we have this year, for the first time, done all of our wines that we've been doing, and we're doing a very small quantity of wine this year because we have a big shortage of fruit, as you well know. But we've done everything with native yeasts. I have not pitched yeast this year. Been afraid of that for quite some time, and my consultants keep saying, you gotta try it. Well, this year we've got very little to lose, and it's turning out very nicely.
So we're going to see some more alcohol wines and a little more European style than maybe you've done in the past?
Probably so. But we also were one of the first in Texas to get Malbec. We asked Neil Newsom back when we first started if he would plant some Malbec for us. And we have 3 acres of Malbec now out at Newsom Vineyards under contract and getting some very nice wines.
Let me ask you one of my favorite questions to ask. How do you get your grapes from the Texas High Plains back to the Fort Worth area?
Well, we're fortunate that several wineries in the Metroplex have grapes under contract with Newsom. So if he's picking Cab and Merlot, for example, they harvest it. He harvests. He harvests it at night. They're loaded in picking bins and on refrigerated trucks, and the truck will come in and make maybe 3 stops at 3 different wineries.
And that goes a long way to explaining why a $10 bottle of wine in California costs $15 a bottle in Texas, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. And the other thing that I have learned is significantly the economy of scale. When we barrel age our wines, we don't simply put them in a barrel and let them sit there. We go through a process where monthly they are checked, they're topped, they're dealt with barrel by barrel. Quarterly, the wine comes out of the barrels are rinsed and refilled, and that racking process gets us to a nice, clean, stable product that does not require filtration. It also takes quite a bit of labor. Now, the amount of labor for tending, we have approximately 90 barrels on premises with various wines in them at the moment. For doing 90 barrels is significant, but doing 900 barrels is probably 4 times significant.
Exactly.
No, 10 times significant. And that economy of scale makes a difference, and that's one of the reasons why a California wine that's produced in thousands of cases as opposed to 300, we run about 300 cases a year per variety.
All right, well, this is great. Thank you. Are you having a good time at the fair, Bruce?
Yes, absolutely.
And people are coming up and enjoying the wine?
They are, and we've been very, very pleased. We have our Pink Rainbows, which is our top seller. It's a blush-style wine made from Chenin Blanc. We have our Malbec, and we have our Cabernet Sauvignon. Malbec took, by the way, a first place in People's Choice in Grapevine just a short while ago, and the Cab had a gold in last year's Lone Star competition.
Oh, which I was a judge, if I'm not mistaken. All right, well, listen, thank you very much. I appreciate this, Bruce.
That's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to talk with you today.
This is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon. May your glass always be full, and may you always enjoy who you're drinking with. So long.